afternoon's message is, Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. As I ponder upon God's word in this passage just read by Deacon David Pang, I remembered many years ago how I had the opportunity to visit an underground dark cave which is situated south of Barberton. As we reached the location, the guide that were in charge gave a torch and a helmet to each of us. We were also counted and registered so that all of us who went and entered into that underground cave will emerge together. The journey took us about half an hour. To make the long story short, halfway down the tunnel, we did an experiment. We decided to turn off all our lights. And when this was done, it was such a surprise to us. It was very eerie, first of all, and it was total darkness, pitch dark. It's different from the darkness that we experience at night, because in the night time, although it is dark, you still can see the stars above if you are outdoor. But here we are underground and it was total darkness. I dare not move forward, neither do I dare to move backward, because I bump onto people or I might slip and fell. We thank God that we still have our torches on with us, and as we turn our torch back on, everything returned to normal. The light is like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. When Jesus said that He is the true light of the world, He is actually trying to tell us that He is the light, the radiance, right? The radiance, that is the light that shines. He is the source of the light, as He is the source of all things. Our Lord Jesus is the creator of all things. The light used here in Greek is called phos. And that's how we get the English word that is connected to it from this root word, like photon or phosphorus. Phosphorus. All these are from this Greek word, phos. And it tells of the light that radiates out. It's not a reflected light. It is a light source. It illuminates. It is a radiance. The translation is radiance. Radiant light. Radiate out. Just like the sun. But of course, the sun is created by our Lord Jesus Christ as well. God created all things. Without Him, obviously we are undone. The opposite of light, as you know, is darkness. We do not know that, we do know that when light shines, darkness disappears. So we can say that light is more powerful than darkness. In the Bible, darkness is often referred to as Satan, sin, and evil. And God is more powerful than Satan. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says, if you can turn to it. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So Jesus Christ is more powerful than Satan. He has overcome Satan by his death, that through death he has the power, that he has power of death, that is the devil. He has already destroyed the power of death. His power is also limited to that which is given by divine permission. You can find this in Job chapter 1 verse 6 and Job chapter 2 verse 1, because in this portion of the scripture, Job went before the Lord. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Verse 12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Job, the suffering that he had gone through, you realize that it is done by Satan. And Satan has to ask permission. And God gave Satan the permission to do whatever you like, but not take his life. And that is also found in Job chapter 2, verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So it is with divine permission that Satan is allowed to cause all the troubles that Job had experienced. Jesus came, he came to destroy the work of the devil. First John chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God do not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So, he came to destroy the works of the devil, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the light, came to his own, his people living in the world of darkness. He is the Savior of the world to save us from our sins. The word light is frequently used figuratively in the scriptures to signify the happiness of true religion or the word of God. And the opposite, darkness, is used to signify the ignorance and misery of the wicked or the evil one. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Apostle John, at the beginning of the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1 verse 9, said, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Why did Jesus say he is the light? And how important is the light to us and to the world? And thirdly, how are we to respond to this light? Let's go back to the beginning, as John loves to go and bring us back to the beginning. We just read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In Genesis, it also tells us that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And He created in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve, our first parents. And God said it was very good. That is found in Genesis chapter 1 verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God also created man in His own image, male and female. But since the fall of man, that is when Adam and Eve being deceived by Satan, they disobeyed God, and God said, do not eat this forbidden fruit. But they did so. And therefore, sin came into the world. All of us today, we are born into this world. We are born in sin. And therefore, we are sinners. And the world is today in darkness. We are, as sinners, we are under the power of Satan. We are born with this sinful nature, and we need help, and help is at hand. God provides a remedy. God provided us a way, and that is the light. So Jesus came to save us from our sins, from darkness, from Satan. Do you know why today in the world we find many people suffering? They take drugs. They are alcoholics. There is sexual immorality. There are many single parents. There are many people divorced. All this because of sin in our life. We have not followed the way of the Lord, God's way. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, there is a spiritual warfare fighting right in heaven. How did Satan came about? He is the archangel of God, Lucifer. He is created by God as well. Angels are created by God. And they are good angels, we call angels. The bad ones, we name them Satan. Right. They are the fallen angels. So Lucifer, fallen, because he is pride. He wants to be God. And that's why today he is in this world. But Jesus, our second Adam, the first Adam failed, being tempted because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The food is good, the fruit is good, and the pride of life, want to be proud, want to know better than God, and therefore doubt what God says. When God says no, it's no. And when he doubted what God says, he's in trouble. And he brought sin into the world. But Jesus, the second Adam, he came. He is from above. He is from heaven. He knows much better than us. We already been deceived by Satan. But we need somebody to save us. Not of our own. Not from this earth. It has to be somebody from out of this earth, who is God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Son of God. And he came. He is the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he came, all his work, his miracles and everything is to prove that he is truly the Son of God. He healed the sick, he made them blind to see. In John chapter 9, we read that, how he caused this blind man to see again. And this blind man not only is physically healed of his blindness, he's gone blind, to show that God is truly the creator. He can create eyes in this person. And he also received his spiritual sight as well. He saw who is our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is truly the Son of God. He also caused the dead to rise again, Lazarus, risen from the dead, to prove that he is indeed God. And also his own life, our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, on the third day, he rose again. That God raised him from the dead. It's a justification to show that God has accepted the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sins of the world. He died on our behalf, and yet on the third day he rose again and is now alive in heaven. He says, I'm coming again. Right. And the coming again is very soon. As you look around us today, many people do believe that the end is very near. And before the end, the Bible has already prophesied that many signs and happenings to warn us. The climate, the weather, the problems, social problems, financial problems, there'll be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, diseases. They are more rampant now than ever before. So these are the signs of our Lord coming again. And this is the light. That's what Jesus said. I am the light. In John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and this him denotes our Lord Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. The Word here, in the beginning was the Word. John Calvin translated it as speech, not written word. It's just the spoken word, what God says. It's a speech. But we thank God that this word is all written for us, and Jesus Christ is the living word, and our Bible is the written word. That's what Jesus came in person. He is the Word. Without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, the Apostle John is telling us the deity of Christ, that he is God. God come to man. You know, during Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. That is God in the beginning, before anything was created. He is there. He is God. He is not a created being. And now, this God, our Lord Jesus Christ, came personally to us, to help us. As I said, we need somebody from outside to help us because we are sinners. We can't help ourselves. Nobody can help one another here. Because we are all sinners. We are all on the same boat. The boat is going to sink. We need someone from outside who is much stronger than us, and God Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God that He's willing to come. God dying for us on the cross of Calvary. Amazing grace. Amazing. We do not understand how this could be done, but God is able. For God, all things are possible. And for us as well, how we can save us from this damnation, this sin. Because when we live in sin, we are in dangerous territory. Just like the time when I was in the cave underground. If you move and you can slip and you can fall and you can hurt yourself, if you do not have the torch, you will not be able to get out of that place, I'm sure. This total darkness is very scary. It's just like a blind person. That's why the blind person cannot see. He couldn't do a lot of things that he took for granted. So from hindsight, we can read of the historical events of the birth, the work, the death, and the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. He destroyed the power of Satan over them. Jesus is the true light of the world, and He prepared salvation for us through His precious blood on Calvary's cross. To answer the question, how important is the light to us and to the world? I would like you all to just imagine for a moment. Just imagine if the sun did not rise today. We usually do not think about that because our good God is in control. Every morning the sun rises in the east, and in the evening it sets in the west. But just imagine for a moment, what would the consequences be? There will be darkness. It will be like night time during the day, and of course without the sun radiant heat, you will be very cold. I'm sure everybody will panic, and I don't think we can do anything about it. All these plants and animals that needed the sunlight, including us human beings, would soon die. And we do not have the heat, and then it will be very, very cold. The whole planet Earth will be all an ice globe made out of ice. That's why Jesus is also called the Son of Righteousness. This is found in the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4 verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calf of the stall. So you can say that our Lord Jesus Christ spiritually is like the sun, that we take the sun physically. The sun provides all that is needed for us to survive. And Jesus Christ is the spiritual Son to us. He is the Son of righteousness. So it is very important. In the physical world, you can see the importance of the Son in relation to earth and the world. How much more do we need our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our spiritual light? He is the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, and He has prepared a way for us to return to God. Jesus, as the true light, revealed Himself to us by shining into our hearts by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. Although now Jesus is not with us physically, He has ascended back to heaven. He is shining in our midst through the Word of God and also through the Holy Spirit. That's how we know that we have sinned against God. Without the light, we are spiritually blind. Remember when God created man, He created man in His own image. We have the light, but this light is now clouded because of sin. That's why we have our conscience to judge us. Although we are not the Jews, we do not have the doctrine of God, but yet we know what is right or wrong. When we kill somebody, our conscience will tell us not to kill. And so, although we are spiritually blind, but when we have the Word of God, when we hear what God says, we do understand what it means. The Word of God says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," in Romans 3:23. When one breaks any of the Ten Commandments, we sin against God. So let us repent of our sins and come to Christ our Savior, to confess our sins and to receive forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John chapter 1 verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." And this John is not the Apostle John. This John is John the Baptist. He is the son of Zechariah the priest. And his mother was Elizabeth. And when Mary was told that she is going to have a child, when she met Elizabeth, this baby to be born in Elizabeth jumped in her body. And so when John the Baptist is actually here referred to as the prophet of the highest, for he shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way. So John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he knew that this is the Messiah. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He is to prepare the way. Before Jesus came, John the Baptist has followers, and he told the followers that repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And so when Jesus came, He told them, "This is the one I'm talking about." Right? So the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. So John the Baptist is the witness that Jesus is the light, that all men through him might believe. He says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10 is a sad verse. He says, he was in the world. Jesus came to the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Imagine, you are the creator and you came to your own creation, but your own creation does not recognize that He is the light, does not acknowledge Him as the Messiah, do not acknowledge that He is the Creator, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But of course, not everybody did not acknowledge Jesus. Some did. There is a remnant. There is a few. And today, we are very glad that you are here to worship the Lord, to want to know more about Him. For those who are still outside the kingdom, I pray that you will come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I know I'm a sinner. I want to repent of my sin. Come into my life. This is the thing that you can respond to. You see, the world knew Him not. So we need to ask this question. Do I know Jesus? He came to His own, and His own received Him not. This verse, some commentaries refer to the Jews, but I think that it also refers to all of us, because we are all created by God in His image, and we have the capacity to know God. We belong to Him, actually, but because of sin, we have been separated. And so He says, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Although this verse may seem that it is referring to the Jews, God's chosen people, but it certainly refers to all humankind, because we are all created in the image of God. And verse 12 is a very a different note. It says, "But as many as receive Him," this is the promise of God, "to them gave He power." The power means the right or the privilege to become the sons of God, to as many as receive Him. So number is not a problem. Color is not a problem. Whether you are red and yellow, black and white, whether you're Chinese or Indian or whatever, there is no class difference as well. You can be rich, poor, whoever you are, but as many as receive Him, as long as you come, He's willing to save. He says He gives them power, the right, the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Even to those who believe on His name. Meaning, when you say you believe on the name of Jesus, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah and all that encompasses His name. All that encompasses His name. That is, His work, His death, resurrection. It's not just say, oh, Jesus, like some people say, oh, Jesus, Jesus. That's why don't use the word Jesus as a swear word, because that name encompasses many things. It's God Himself. Jesus is God. To follow Jesus is to believe in Him. For he that follows Jesus, hears the promises that Jesus, those that follow Jesus, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a wonderful verse. This is a happy word. When we follow Jesus, we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know the dangers of walking in darkness. But now you have the light. You understand what is going on in your life. You know why these things happen to you. You know there is a spiritual warfare right in the heavens between the angels. And we know that we are God's people. We we are created in His image, and we ought to return back to Him for refuge, for strength, for guidance, and eternal life. That is where God is. Right? That's how we have eternal life. Because you want to live with God, you've got to change. Your life must be transformed. Your life must change. Your body must change from a mortal body to an immortal body. With the twinkling of an eye, you will change one day when Christ comes again, so that you can live in the environment that is in heaven with God. Our present body decays, right? All of us know we're losing our hair. It's getting white. We can't move as fast as before. We can't talk so well, pronounce so easily. We cannot eat certain things hard. Our teeth are getting less, not strong. And you get all kinds of aches and pains. This is a sign to tell you that you are getting old. Admit it. Take it as it is. Don't reject it and say, no, it can't be. It is. This is a natural law, right? For those scientists, that is, I don't know what law of things getting from good to bad to worse, alright? The law of thermodynamics or something like that, if I'm not wrong. The things by natural state will go from bad to worse, alright? We are not any different. Our human body is the same. We can only live up to 90, 100. And that will be very good at the present moment. So, we need to be born again. So verse 13, it says, born of God. So born again. You were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. This is spiritual birth. In John chapter 3 as well mentioned that you must be born again. So believing in Jesus, receiving Jesus as a personal Savior, is to be born again. So we come to the final question. So how should we respond to Him? How should we respond to God? To be born again, of course, one of them. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 to 16. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 to 15. Also ties up with the theme for our church, as well as our theme during our conference. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So, as children of light, we need to shine, we need to live. This is our theme for the conference, walk worthy of the Lord. Here, we need to walk. Walk as children of light. And prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Do not have any fellowship with those who live in darkness, but rather reprove them. To today if we say anything about what God hates, like the same-sex marriage, abortion, and no drinking of alcohol, drug taking, gambling, and all these sinful things, people do not like it. And they're even ask some liberal churches to see all the goody-goody things that God is love, and not mention anything about the sin that God hates. But here, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians mentioned that because our Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, He reveals all these things. He reveals darkness. Darkness don't like light. Some animals don't like light. The nocturnal animals, they only come out to feed at night when it's dark. I hope we are not like them. I hope we are humans who love light, because we need the sun. We need the vitamin D to keep our bones strong. We need, and the plants need them for photosynthesis in order to survive. We need the heat, or else it'll be too cold for us. We need the sun. We need light. And so let us come to the light, alright, and discard all the evil deeds. Because we can't come to the light sometimes is because we love the darkness. Some people love, to watch movies. Not all kinds of movies, but those movies that are not biblical. They love to watch Pokemon or play Pokemon games. They watch this, they like to go to parties. They like to go to night clubbing, they call it, I think. I don't know, the young people will know. Or they go to the disco, right? Make it a habit. And they become addicted to it. When a friend invites them, they say, oh yeah, I'll be coming. And they lose the light. Because they are supposed to reprove all these things. But yet, on the Lord's Day, instead of coming to the worship service, they disappear somewhere. Either at the beach, or sleep. They could have slept much earlier or wake up on time, but they rather want to sleep more. The whole body is telling them not to go to church. Right. So this is the work of darkness, work of Satan. It hinders the saints. It hinders our worship of God and our fellowship of God. And it hinders the work of God. Because what God wants in your life is what? To glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. And so in doing all this, you will not glorify God, neither will you enjoy God. But rather you are now the slave of sin. And that is darkness. So let us reprove it. So those who believe shall have the light of life. Those who do not shall walk in darkness. There are two kinds of people in the world today. Which one would you like to be? It's up to you. Always God gives us choices. But you will have to take the consequences. When you walk in the light, you have all that joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But if you walk contrary to God, you have sadness, wickedness, evil, all these things are upon you, and you'll be wondering, why am I in this situation? But not too late, if you wonder, then quickly turn back to God and confess and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, I need to follow your way. Right? And that is the right way. and you save a lot of heartache. As parents, you will save a lot of heartache because the children will not do the things that you think that you'll be praying that they will not do. Right? And as all of us, we will be able to enjoy the Lord as we come to Him in repentance. Just come if you will, if you have not received Christ, if there are one, two, maybe three here, just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I pray and say, Lord, save me. Simple, sincere prayer, the Lord will listen. So, that's the end of my sermon. Let us bow our heads in the word of prayer. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for thy word, that indeed thou art the true light of the world, that thou comest to help us, to give us this light that we have lost since the fall, that we may know what is the truth, that we may be able to respond positively to thy truth, to know what is darkness, to know the works of Satan in our lives. Father, we pray that thou will forgive us, cleanse us, use us as thou hast prepared before the foundation of the world, that we ought to live holy lives to glorify thy name on this earth. Bless our families, our children, and all those that come, that they may truly hear thy truth and thy word, that they may consider the need of this light from above, to light the path before us so that we will not walk in darkness, that we may have the light of life. So Father, continue to bless us as we worship, for we pray and ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is taken from hymn number 2.